everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me once again for the opportunity to have another in-depth conversation about topics that are so important for us to really understand. You know, it's all about being empowered with truthful information so we can make informed decisions. That's kind of my theme song here on the show. It's giving you the knowledge. And from there, you can know what your choices are and make the best choice for you. Today, we're going to be talking all about heart disease, cardiovascular health. It's a big topic. It comes very close to my heart, metaphorically and literally speaking, because of some issues that are happening in my family. So I thought it was so appropriate to have been given the information that my guest is going to be sharing with us today. So let's just jump right into it. We're going to be talking about reversing heart disease naturally with Dr. Michelle Honda. And a little bit about Michelle, who's a PhD and a holistic doctor who specializes in disease reversal through the employment of natural medicine and clinical nutrition. Within 2 years of finishing her PhD, Michelle opened a holistic health clinic with her husband called Renew Your Holistic Health in Ancaster, Ontario, Canada, where she conducts a private practice. The author of the innovative book, Reverse Gut Disease Naturally, Michelle is dedicated to the welfare of mankind and the preservation of the environment. Her success in full disease reversal of intestinal complaints is unprecedented, and she has developed a reputation for being an expert in the field of applied natural medicine and clinical nutrition. Michelle has applied the same expertise in reverse heart disease naturally, as well as the forthcoming latest series edition, Reverse Inflammation Naturally, to be released in May 2017. Michelle is passionate about sharing the sort of knowledge that offers the power of personal choice, enabling others to restore, renew, and rejuvenate themselves, which is all about this program, this radio series of mine. So it's just a perfect fit, and it's great to have Michelle Honda on the show. So welcome, Michelle.
Thank you so much, Cheryl, Dr. Selman. It's a real
Cheryl
pleasure.
Cheryl is good, Michelle. Cheryl is fine. I like that.
Thank you. Yes, it's wonderful to be in contact with somebody who is so like-minded and who realizes the importance of sharing information, because, you know, the problem is we're not enough of the population is given it, so either they seek it out on their own or they have to, you know, be pushed or guided to where it's at so that they can make better choices for themselves and actually get the help they need. So it's wonderful that you're doing a show such as this, because it's extremely valuable and necessary. So we're looking at, as I do with all ailments that I treat or problems, you know, I still concentrate on the body as a whole. I think that's most important. So even though the heart is obviously affected and not working well, ill if you would like, and it needs to be, you know, made well again and restored and made stronger so it can function more optimally as well, because it may have been damaged from, you know, a heart attack or cardiac arrest, anything like that. The other parts of the body will still affect and have an impact on your heart. So always in a section of my books, there's going to be how to prop up the body as a whole, because a tired, weak body can't heal itself, so you must address, you know, main systems and glands, you know, that deal with stress and energy, you know, how you feel on a day-to-day basis. All of that's going to have, you know, a huge impact on the quality of life you have, and also in how quickly you'll turn things around, how fast you can actually restore your body. So the more shortages that are picked up, it's just going to be common sense that the body as a whole will just rejuvenate. And it's quite miraculous, the things I see, what the body's capable of doing when it's properly supported. It really isn't rocket science. If the body's missing a lot of nutrients, it can't perform properly. And then one system and one function and organ and so forth is always going to affect something else, and not in a positive way. So when we're looking at heart disease and that naturally, there are a lot of, you know, common problems that society has, you know, implemented knowingly or not knowingly, but lightly. You know, if your diet is low in fiber and it's high in fat, if you're lacking exercise and you have elevated cholesterol levels, for instance, you have too much sugar in your diet or too much animal protein or fat. Also, if you're not able to manage stress, of course, this is where propping up the other areas of the body are so important to do with your adrenals and your thyroid glands. And they also have a direct impact separately and collectively on the heart. So realize, of course, that, you know, being that the heart is greatly influenced by the health status of the whole body, key areas of the body are to be addressed. And any low-functioning systems and glands and organs, you need to correct the deficiencies, and this will also reverse fatigue. Again, one of the most promising aspects of picking up a body, I find, where people get a little more enthused and then they're more inclined to stick with a new program or a supplement, is feeling more energized and then feeling more refreshed when they wake up in the morning and even sleeping better. But certainly their moods are better. They're less reactive. You know, they're easier to get along with and so forth. So the heart and all other aspects of the body, you know, it requires constant and adequate, like consistent support, and I mean nutritionally. So the majority of the population.
So Michelle, let me jump in here.
Sure, thank you.
So I think that's such an important point to understand, that the nourishment of every single cell is responsible for how well the body can function. So the heart and the entire cardiovascular system, which of course is a collection of all the arteries that are occurring throughout the body, and even the small little capillaries, are all part of the system, right? I mean, we talk about the heart, but we really talk about this cardiovascular system, mm-hmm. which is responsible for the flow of blood throughout the body. So there are certain – first of all, do you know what the statistics are right now? I think it's 1 out of 2 people are subject to cardiovascular disease in – the U.S., I think, is probably the same or close to the same in Canada. Is that correct?
1 out of 2. My stats are a little different. I know every 40 seconds somebody dies from it.
From a heart attack?
Yes, death by heart attack. Every 40 seconds. There's 1,900 cases every year. No, there's more than that. What am I saying? That's since the year 1900. I don't have that number in front of me.
I thought it was like 1 out of 2, and cancer is kind of coming up close behind it right now. But the fact is we have an epidemic of cardiovascular disease. And like you said, every 40 seconds someone is dying. That's pretty shocking.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I said earlier that this subject is near and dear to me is because my mom just had a blood clot, or I guess you would call it DBT. This is my 94-year-old mother in her thigh, so she just went through that process and a lot of complications as a result. I've got friends with aneurysms. I've got people who've, people I know with heart attacks. I mean, I see this going on all around me, high cholesterol levels on so many people. So I think we really want to give people a roadmap here so they can take some steps and know that they've got options. It's not just about medications. In fact, sometimes, as we know, the medications can cause more side effects and be more detrimental than they can certainly be helpful. So, you know, this is wonderful that you're here, because we can give people some practical solutions. And I want to start, let's start with this thing called plaque and cholesterol, because everyone gets their cholesterol measured and they're told they have, you know, the high HDLs and the LDLs are high, the HDLs are too low, you know. But people go, oh, what does that mean, you know? And I think we need to just go back to basics and help people understand what's going on. So I'm just going to kind of put it over to you right now, Michelle,
okay. And
just share a little bit about, define all this and help us understand what it really means.
Okay, I'll start lightly with a bit of the cause, and then we'll get into the plaque, and then a little more on the fats after that, because it'll make more sense then. So when you have a lack of specific fats and enzymes, of course, this is going to promote your blood to thicken. And many of these things naturally occur in the body as we age as well, especially with the drop of certain enzymes that eat up the protein, because it's the substances produced from the liver, your fibrin and fibrogen, and stackable cells that thicken the blood and create the clots and actually grow things in the body, whether it's a lump or bump, scar tissue, and so forth. So there is an important balance that relates back to the liver to do with taking in quality fats, because it helps make the liver function more properly, and certainly to do with heart disease, it's paramount because you need cholesterol. Hormones are made from cholesterol, so the body has to produce cholesterol some way, somehow. And this is where, in general, the imbalance comes from. People are told and have been for too long not to take in fat, so they're applying that to all fats. But the truth is, we are never, ever going to be well without omega-3 fatty acids. They are the one essential type of fat that the liver makes your HDL cholesterol from, your high-density lipids, and it's only the omega-6 fats. These are sourced from your vegetable oils, and then you have saturated fat from animal and so on. That's the fat that deposits in your tissues and in your arteries. When you have adequate amounts of your HDL, it actually works toward pulling the LDL out. But when the diet isn't providing your omega-3 fatty acids, then the body can only work with what it's been given. So because you have to have hormones, or you die in days without hormones, we would, it's going to try to work with what it's been given, and this is where the imbalance comes in. Your LDL naturally will go up because there's little to no omega-3s present to begin with. So the outcome of that is where they're referring to your good cholesterol, your bad cholesterol. This is going to result in excessive plaque buildup in the artery walls. Now, plaque buildup in the artery wall doesn't directly produce an obstacle in the blood flow. Rather, it's the walls of the artery. They thicken, they protrude into that hollow space of your artery. And that's going to, you know, obviously restrict your blood flow. So the fact that your blood is already thickening up, and then you're going to get the hypertension, the high blood pressure, and it's more easily for instance, it wouldn't be hard to imagine how a blood clot or an arterial spasm would then obstruct the flow in the artery, the blood flow completely, because it is so narrow, and the fact that the blood probably isn't slippery to begin with. But plaque is predominantly sorry. Yes, sorry.
Go ahead. I was just going to ask you to define plaque. I know you're just about
to. I want to do that right now.
Yeah, good.
So plaque is predominantly sourced from LDL, your low-density lipoproteins, not your HDL. But there's something interesting. Even though we talk so much about bad cholesterol and blame the LDLs for everything, they actually have a role that's very important in the body. So I'd just like you to realize, your viewers, that LDL is responsible for delivering lipoproteins to all the cells in the body. But the problem is when they accumulate too much. So when they're present in excessive amounts, it's then that they become oxidized by radicals in the blood, and this is going to cause the buildup of plaque in the arteries. And then you get into complicated plaques. But before I touch on complicated plaques, let's not forget that the blood needs to be slippery and unrestricted in its flow. Because through the lack of fats, for instance, if you just took your omega-3 fatty acids in a fish oil, now fish oil is the only thing or something in the family of the fish oil. They're your only source that's 100% omega-3s. But in the fish oil, you have properties that actually ROLU, these are stackable cells in the blood, and they are sticky. But fish oil prevents the blood from being sticky. So that's why it automatically helps the heart. And the fact that nothing is happening in the body functioning-wise, every cell, science has learned this now, there is absolutely nothing occurring in your body that does not require an omega-3 fatty acid. So your inflammation response, immune response, they require an omega-3 fatty acid. So by taking fish oil, for instance, your inflammation will come down a great, great deal. It's one of the main tools I use for reducing pain and inflammation and getting people off of really bad medications, the anti-inflammatories and so forth, and Celebrex and the like. So you'd be amazed what is possible with just a dietary supplement. And of course, though, because rampant heart disease, but thyroid is as well, and now we look at Alzheimer's and dementia, you know, you must feed the brain. So the brain mass is mostly made up of omega-3 fatty acids, so therefore your memory will be great, your brain mass will expand, you're not going to be subjected to, or succumb, I should say, to dementia or Alzheimer's. We just need to feed the body, and then it can replenish itself and serve you. So now looking at, as time goes by, so if more and more time passes by and the heart's put under the stress of this, it's going to be under a far greater strain. So it's going to become less able to compensate for this reduced blood flow. Now, this is where, you know, you're going to be subjected to any number of cardiovascular problems, the strokes, the aneurysm, cardiac arrest. But what causes plaque to build up? That would be the thing. It isn't always diet-related, you might be surprised to know. The plaque, the immune system can get involved. So a couple of things that cause plaque buildup that most people wouldn't relate to would be an injury. If you're, you know, a blow, it's going to damage the capillaries or your arteries and so forth. And then the immune sends repair in, tissues, cells build up, and calcium as well, which I'll touch on in a bit. So these things obviously are going to create a lesion, a mass, and or a protrusion, or even an obstacle in the blood flow. And also, it's just the immune response when we come to chemical-borne chemicals, blood-borne chemicals, I mean to say. The viruses, infections, all of these things actually that are happening throughout the body and in the tissues this way, where the blood flows through to, will actually form plaque. And people wouldn't imagine that. However, your dietary source, of course, when you have the imbalance in the liver and you're not feeding your body the omega-3s, you are always going to have more of an imbalance diet-wise. But the other involves individuality when we come to predisposition. This can happen where people don't understand how they've gotten heart disease because their diet has been good, their weight is good, and so on. These would be some of the reasons. But when we start looking at arteriosclerosis and complicated plaque, this is where it gets really serious and more deadly. As plaque enlarges, this will lead, obviously, to your further disease development. So then the blood flow is going to be reduced. But what happens with the reduced blood flow is that your nutrition level is going to be reduced. And that's also the nutrition that's required by the blood vessels themselves. This actually becomes very impactful when you're talking about arteriosclerosis and contributing factors of this disease. The deeper tissue of your arteries, these smooth muscle cells, like they're involved in your membrane layer, they begin to die. And along with the deterioration of elastic fibers. Now, elastic fibers, think in terms of being pliable and supple. So we need that in the arteries because when they become rigid, you're going to have hypertension, more, you know, restrictions. And, of course, that always does promote aneurysms, strokes, any number of things. Now, the disease process will take a different turn as this ensues, as plaque becomes more of this nature. Because of the decline of the elastin fibers, and then there's going to be other key components that the body replaces these elements with, unfortunately, they're going to be non-elastic scar tissue. So as well as deposits of calcium salts into the damaged area. So you have an immune system influence here right now. But the scenario such as this one, in which the body answers to the buildup of plaque by depositing even more obstructive material, this is what describes your complicated plaques. I'm just going to touch on something that you would find later in the book to do with nutrients that help, you know, prevent or reverse heart disease. And it's vitamin K2, which I'm sure you're quite familiar with, Cheryl. Not K1. K1 is found, it's completely different. It would be what clots the blood, and it's in the green juice of plants and chlorophyll. But K2, with a lot of research behind this, and that's the only reason I added it to the book. K2 actually has shown very successfully to prevent or inhibit the depositing of calcium into this area of the tissue. In other words, it inhibits claudication. So that's a good thing to know and a very inexpensive nutrient to pick up. Now, when we get into something I find very interesting is with this complicated plaque, you're going to get into a lot of frayed and ulcerative artery walls, which in turn it will encourage, of course, more thrombosis formation and further plaque adhesions because they're frayed. Now, I'm going to speak. Would you like to say anything at this point? Because I see I'm talking a lot.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, it kind of all boils down to the fact that if we're understanding the root cause issues, you mentioned this, it's free radicals. It's damage from exposure to chemicals in the environment, to could be nutritional deficiencies. I also, Michelle, have been investigating the role of electromagnetic radiation, and studies are showing that EMFs actually are causing massive amounts of free radical damage in the body, which is contributing to heart disease. Have you found that as well?
Oh, yes. I've written a fair bit on EMFs, and you're absolutely right in a lot of areas.
So what we're looking at, you know, it's like the big story is that our body and all these conditions are reflecting some of these root cause issues, such as inflammation and oxidative stress, which you you know have written about. And I think that's such a big take-home message for people, that we have to reduce exposures that increase inflammation, oxidative stress. We have to bring in the nutrition that supports the body dealing with inflammation, oxidative stress. And like you said, like the omega-3s are thinning the blood, which, you know, is such a profound message for people. I mean, and they do many other things as well, but just, you know, when I was doing some writing and researching, you were talking about how we should be focusing more on omega-3s and omega-6s, which are the plant-based oils. So in the average American diet, the ratio of omega-6s to omega-3s is 20 to 1, right? And it should be more like 1 to 1. So we are so overdone on omega-6, which is pro-inflammatory, compared to the role of omega-3, which is anti-inflammatory. And, you know, so we've got to start getting our diet back, reduce exposures. You know, we have to emphasize, and it can't be said enough, eating organic, taking all the commercial cleaning products and chemicals out of your world, your personal world, is so critical.
Yes, I agree.
You know, I heard a speaker one time which really impacted me. He was talking about the risk of cardiovascular disease from non-particulate matter. So that's all the invisible exhaust chemicals that are found from all the cars and trucks that we're breathing in if you're living in a city anywhere.
Yeah, a major component for inflammation just throughout the whole body, you know, which would add to any problem condition that's existing. Sure.
So let's go back to some of these conditions. So we talked about cholesterol, and we talked about you know, how it's really an important component of the body. It's been misaligned, and what we're really needing to look at is healing the walls of the arteries that are damaged, that the plaque is trying to protect.
Thanks.
So let's go and look at some of your favorite strategies, Michelle, that will help us to, first of all, let's talk about cholesterol. Let's talk about that you know, reading that you get from the doctor that says, oh my God, you know, your cholesterol's too high. Is that really a problem? You know, is a high cholesterol really an issue? And if it is, what are your favorite recommendations? Let's start there. And then we go through a list of other conditions that you write about in your book. So I want to go through as many as possible to give people more strategies.
I'll just, following up on the note we were just speaking to before we finished, it'll preface the cholesterol problem and how it affects heart disease directly. I'm just going to give you a reference to a Dr. Lundahl, He's a cardiac heart surgeon. This has to do with diet and fat, so indirectly but associated with what you're asking. Dr. Lundell has done over 5,000 cardiac open heart surgeries. And oddly enough, what he has openly, publicly admitted now, that what, you know, they've been doing all along traditionally, like as a treatment and prevention for this disease, has absolutely not worked. And a lot of it stems from, he recognizes, from the lack of fats, the good fats, being told not to take in any fats. But coupling with that, other mainstream dietary things that we've been doing for, you know, decades now. But however, you might be interested to know that when he opens an artery, what it looks like and what causes it to look like that. So he said it's like looking, it's as if somebody took a scrub brush to the inside of your artery wall. So because of that, he sees that inflammation is a huge component to the cholesterol building up in the artery walls. Naturally, they're frayed, so they're more easily able to adhere to the surface. But again, the inflammation is a big mainstream problem. And of course, what is actually fueling the inflammation or causing this in the arteries? So this is to do with the heart disease directly. So when you look at the diet, and this is one of the things he agrees on, and what you and I already know, it's not that many things, but it is the excessive amounts of sugar. It's the overabundance of refined carbohydrates, the flour and their products, excessive amounts of omega-6 oils, your soybean, your vegetable, corn, and sunflower, as you've just indicated, processed foods containing the above-mentioned oils and flours. So what have people been eating for the last 30, 40 years? A lot of that. So it's interesting that besides the extra weight gain it'll give you, it's definitely fueling inflammation throughout the body, and there are specific reasons on the pathways and how they work. Maybe we can touch on that at some point. But then we have...
Well, let's go and let's talk about what people do. I want to go in and look at some of the strategies that people need to have. So reducing cholesterol, what are your favorite supplements or foods that help reduce cholesterol levels, which is really a sign that there's too much inflammation going on in your body and showing up in your arteries?
Well, for one thing, the cholesterol medications, of course, are a major problem. Being off of any medication, you're going to be able to restore yourself far more quickly. And the main thing I recommend is the thing we've already talked about is omega-3 fatty acids. I have found that the liver will just rebalance itself if you give it a bit of time to do
and
that.
And you also, in your book, you talk about niacin. You want to say something about B3?
That's supplements that can expedite the process. Niacin's, you know, very inexpensive vitamin B3. It will lower your HDL, certainly, and it will, you know, raise your LDL. There's a lot of scientific studies proving that today. You have things like, you know, seed extracts. What is it? Orange seed, stearinol?
Yes. Citronol.
Is that how you say it? There's magnesium. I mostly do it through the diet.
Okay.
Find to add a lot of supplements to people's diets, lower cholesterol. The main thing I find is if they're on the cholesterol medication, it's paramount that they get off of it, because these things they hurt the heart. The heart's a muscle, and the fact that these medications weaken your muscles, and this is certainly evident in research now. In fact, young men, they have finally stopped giving them cholesterol medication, because by the time they reach 40, these symptoms are so pronounced in the body, and they don't work. There's no proof that they actually remove any plaque or cholesterol from the body. So your polycostanol, there's things that, you know, you can go to. Polycostanol is very popular. If you want extra help, the lower dose works the best, oddly enough. So where that isn't always the case. So it's only really about like 20 milligrams that you would take twice a day that would lower your cholesterol, where if you took 40, you would see no benefit, for instance. And it's a sugar cane extract. And being that it's sugar cane, it will not have any negative effect on your glucose. But your niacin, as you mentioned, it does raise your HDL, like I said, but it also lowers your triglycerides. Now, triglycerides are another problematic fat, but that's a different fat in the plasma, and it's due to an overabundance of sugar, and the leftover sugar then turns into a fat. So you would want to watch, for many reasons, your sugar intake. But chromium, this is a light trace mineral, and every diabetic's pancreas is low in chromium, but it's also the element that will burn, that's needed to burn fat in the body. So you get a lot of benefit from that little trace mineral. Plant sterols are huge for blocking cholesterol, if you will. If you're wanting to get into anything specific for diet things, you can get these in supplements as well, but plant sterols are plant fats, so you absorb very little of them. Well, you're absorbing about 60% of your other dietary fat or cholesterol. So when you incorporate plant sterols, plant fats, or stenols, it's all the same sort of thing, with the food you're eating, either as a supplement or through a dietary source, you are automatically going to block the absorption of the fat. The best way to clean out the liver is the method that we would be using in this book for fully reversing arteriosclerosis, though, and that's with changing your bile. I've done that a few times this year already, and maybe I don't need to do it at all, but you can kind of get caught up in things. It's your bile that makes cholesterol, or cholesterol is made from bile. It's vice versa. They work as a team. And I think we should talk about that a bit, because that's really involving the protection and the reversal process.
Yeah, you know, let's talk about bile again. I've actually had a couple of radio shows where we focused on the importance of bile, which I have to say was really enlightening for me. So I think it's a topic that really needs to be repeated, because bile plays such a major role in our health on many levels, and people need to appreciate how to support and optimize their bile production. So let's go for it, Michelle.
Okay, I'll try and keep it short.
Let's hit the highlights, because I want to talk about arrhythmia, and I want to talk about hypertension and stroke. So we have a few other things to cover.
Okay. Bile essentially is a bile acid. It's secreted when you eat a protein or a animal product or an oil or a fat. If you just ate a vegetable or a fruit, your body does not secrete bile. But the problem with bile is it's a garbage collector, so it circulates year in and year out, never leaves the body unless a person made a point of eating in a certain way. You need high-quality, soluble fiber that would really lock onto it. It not only locks onto the bile in your digestive system, but it locks onto any fat in that meal as well. So there's a benefit. The fiber will take out the bile and the fat through your colon. So it's not going to be reabsorbed back to the liver, where if you have a gallbladder, it's waiting for it to concentrate it, to make it stronger.
Okay, wait. Michelle, let me just ask you one question real quick.
Sure.
Are we talking about soluble or insoluble fiber?
Soluble. Water-soluble fiber.
Okay.
That would be in beans, legumes, plants, vegetables.
Right.
That type of fiber. And if you don't... So the problem is, because people haven't been taking in the right fats, proportionate, or at all the ones that the body needs, the liver is going to be sluggish. It will produce sticky bile, and this is how you get your gallstones and gravel and so forth. But if your gallbladder has been taken out, and it's unfortunate because it isn't hard to clean that area out of the body out naturally, then they're going to now form in your liver. So you have a fatty liver, you have a sluggish. The bile's all sledged up. You're not getting a good clean out. So it's important to have new bile to take care of that liver just in of itself. So the new bile will not only melt the cholesterol throughout the whole body, because, see, it recognizes it's not there, So it's going to draw cholesterol from your tissues so that you're now able to make new bile. So that's one way. But the other way, of course, it's automatically, because it isn't there, the liver also, the body stimulates it to produce it. So there's two things happening as to why a simple diet adjustment and protocol can actually fully and completely reverse arteriosclerosis. You have bile and cholesterol, they're a team. So bile is, again, made from cholesterol. So when the amount of circulating bile is decreased in the bloodstream, cholesterol will be converted to produce more bile. So when sufficient bile is not available for the body's digestive needs, the liver is forced to make new bile, hence cholesterol is lowered. So that really says it all as far as what you need to know, what the main core and premise of this book is on. Because there isn't any other traditional or medical way that you can do this. And you want to know something next?
So let's just recap on that. So just recap, how do we support creating healthy bile?
By eating fiber. Of course, this is outlined in the book and the diet protocol to marry with this. So I've come up with a diet that specifically does this. I work a lot with different forms of types of diets. But by eating fiber with each meal, that forces the bile's never going back, so the body is consistently producing new bile. And then,
So if people are eating a whole food diet, you're getting your fiber, right?
Well,
you have your
only
vegetables, your fruits, your
yeah, but they're not good fibers for pulling out plaque. I'm sorry, for pulling out bile or fat. They're healthy, but they are not going to lock on to the bile or the fat. Only the one that does it the very best is the legume family. Nothing comes close to it.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, so you need the beans or the lentils.
In other words, your fruits and vegetables are significantly lower and able with the ability to accomplish this process.
All right, so you want to have some legumes in your diet, and that would be like lentils or beans.
Beans are actually the very best. Lentils would be next, I suppose. Your dried peas and whole peas and split peas, they are still lighter again. But in the book, I have come up with recipes how to make bean flour and bean meal that's cooked. These are things I could not find anywhere.
All right.
So that makes it convenient for people if you travel or you don't want to eat beans or certain, you know, legumes all the time. So there are ways to get around this to make your life simpler and easier.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Let's talk about strokes. So, obviously, from everything you've been sharing with us, you know, the blood is thickening for whatever reason. The arteries and the veins are getting narrower because of whatever blockage. Usually, it's cholesterol. Tell us more. What do we need to know about strokes, the cause, and what we need to do to prevent them? And if we've had one, what do we do? What's your best recommendation with your dietary protocols?
What we've been talking about has everything to do with strokes and aneurysms. You have to reverse your arteriosclerosis, thin out your blood, you know, open up these pathways. So it still comes back to reversing arteriosclerosis in order to fully prevent these from happening. The problem is when they do happen, you know, they often can end in death or permanent damage. So there's no question that a Mediterranean-style diet, one that has lots of fresh fruits and vegetables, high omega-3s, leaner proteins or fish, that automatically is going to help prevent these things as well.
You know, Michelle, I do nutrigenomic testing, so I look at the inherited gene expressions, and what I've learned is that about 60% of the population genomically really thrive on a classical Mediterranean type diet. So the vast majority of us should be having an olive oil based Mediterranean type diet. The next percentage of people really do well on a low fat kind of modified, I would say, Mediterranean-type diet, and a very small percentage, if about 10% of the people actually do well on a high-fat or what's considered a paleo diet, which
right.
has really been very instructive for me and in counseling the people I work with on getting the right diet
mm-hmm.
for each person.
I agree. A main factor that I find, besides, you know, eliminating all the bad fats, putting in enough of your good fats, taking care of the thyroid and adrenals because they're so impactful on your day-to-day existence, is enough raw food. The thing I'm not seeing in the people's diets and that I have found has made the biggest impact on my life, I've been juicing for 36 years. Nobody was juicing when I was juicing. So I look at, even today, if you're looking at what cures cancer, it's actually, you know, the biggest component to these protocols is raw food. So people need to address the fact, is everything dead, even though it's a vegetable? You know, how much live food are you eating? You're expecting life out of something that's dead, and it really isn't going to work very well that way. So you need, it's the enzymes and these antioxidants reduce inflammation so much, so they're extremely valuable for, as you say, your oxidative stress throughout the body and the brain, especially the brain of these kids with autism and so on. So more raw food, and I just look at juice as being a cheat because none of us are eating biochemically how we're, you know, how science says that we should eat according to this, to how our body is made, I suppose. Enough raw food, like most of it should be raw. Well, that just isn't happening for most people. So you've got to find a way to incorporate more raw food into your diet, and I find the easiest way, and you can get a concentrated concentration of nutrients that way that do a lot for you, and a lot of healing with all that vitamin A and so forth, is more raw food.
So I was just saying, before we did our show, I was asking you about my mom, who I told you just had a blood clot in
yes.
her thigh, which was dissolved, and you were giving me some really good suggestions of how to support her in recovering and making sure it doesn't happen again. So should we talk a little about blood clots and what those recommendations were that you told me? And I think they'd be really helpful for my audience.
Okay. Blood clots, you know, obviously are still from the things we've just all talked about. It's an immune response of theirs. So, for instance, people think the complicated plaques are more scary, but these don't break apart. But it is actually your thinner plaque that would be more inclined to break apart. And this is where oftentimes you get the formation of a blood clot because the immune system comes in and sends a lot of things to, you know, ward it off from the body and forms the mass. So, again, still, the blood needs to be kept slippery, so the fish oils are paramount. So the theory that I worry about and I find, you know, contradictory to anybody being able to maintain good health is when you're applying blood thinners. Now, I see a lot of this. So when you're dissolving a clot, that's one thing. But if you had a stroke or an aneurysm, they automatically take them off of fish oils because obviously fish oils do work or they wouldn't take them off. So clearly they are able to keep the blood more slippery and prevent it from being sticky. But it would make far more sense to me, because the other makes zero sense, if you're taking away something that is so necessary for health and is absolutely critical, and now you're adding a drug that will promote bleeding elsewhere in the body as well and any number of side effects. So therefore, why wouldn't the protocol include your fish oils for health and then lower the medication accordingly, because they're always checking the viscosity of your blood regularly, and they would only administer or tell you to take the amount of drug needed to coincide, you know, how well the blood is flowing or not. So I just would like people to question this for anybody who's on these things, to please try to still take hold and control of your health by taking in the things that you know you really need, and then, you know, work it out with the medication dosage.
I have to say, I confronted the cardiologist about this very issue, giving my mother a blood thinner, which has caused excessive bleeding in her.
Yeah.
So I said, why can't we use some fish oil? He said, there's no evidence, there's no science behind fish oil having any effect on blood thinner. And I immediately went home and just like looked up all the clinical studies. But, you know, I didn't send it because it wasn't going to do any good. I
most
could not get this doctor to, they don't want to take the risk. And this is the real challenge of learning this information while being under medical care, because they have a protocol in the hospitals, in the rehab centers, and when you try to introduce some other options, it's basically rejected because it's not part of the medical protocol. And I'm experiencing this right now in my life when helping my mother, and I just really see the frustration that comes up when we're trying to provide options that are safe and effective but not accepted or allowed if you're under medical care. And then people get scared, you know, because they don't want to venture off on their own. Like, you know, someone like my mother's age, you know, it's like believes in the doctors, doesn't feel well, but terrified that if she doesn't do it, she's going to have a recurrence.
Yes, it's the programming. Early detection, of course, in the blood clot then would be key, and, you know, to determine about how dangerous a blood clot will be involves how large the blood clot becomes, or, of course, the area that it may block. As blood clots that block a coronary artery, they often result in a heart attack. So it is important to get to the core of your diet and start supporting it in the way you should, because there are proteolytic enzymes, and they're detailed in the book, and I only use high-quality ones. They are what is available to the public. Luckily, you can buy them in your regular health food stores. I'm going to again say quality. They must be well-coated, what they call an enteric-coated, but still must be a quality enteric-coated, so that they make it past your stomach acid, and so that they only open up then into your intestines, and then they secrete, they work systemically, constantly throughout the body. So you would take something like that 3 times a day. So there are things available that decompose clots naturally, just like tumors, cysts, anything that comes from the liver, the fibrogen. This is what makes most things in the system, a lump, a bump, fibrosis, whether it's to do with fibromyalgia or just shrinking your glands so you age quicker and you produce less hormones. So these are many times to do with the aging process, but again, the body's still going to age slower or quicker just depending on how well it's being supported throughout your life or 20 years prior to the condition that you've ended up with.
All right. So one last thing in the few minutes we have, I just want to talk about one other condition, then we kind of can summarize everything and see if there's anything we left out, and that's arrhythmias. Let's talk a little bit about arrhythmias.
Well, you know, the main mineral involved with calming, you know, working on when you breathe out of the heart, like when the heart expels, is magnesium. So magnesium is always key. Component to make sure you're addressing to do with any functioning in the body. It's the most used mineral that we have. Zinc is next. And so I would always suggest magnesium a few times a day. There are plant extracts to provide calming and so forth. But I find, you know, the adrenals can be involved because if you're putting out too much epinephrine, 80% of the hormones secreted are this from the adrenal, so that's going to excite the heart and stimulate it more. So there is, you know, a lot of other areas or contributing factors, if you will, that can play on this besides all the other things that we've already talked about that would lead to a heart disease or heart problems. Anything specific that you can think of more in that way?
I mean, I think magnesium is such an important mineral, and I don't know. I saw a statistic that said 60% of the population is deficient. I would probably say it's higher than that even. And because it has the ability to calm the muscles, I mean, I see arrhythmia as, you know, it's like getting a cramp in your leg. You know, the muscles contracting and it's irregular. I mean, it was. I saw again personally how an arrhythmia was contributing to my mother's starting to get TIAs, which,
yes.
you know, these little blood clots, because
yes.
the heart would not consistently pump, and then blood would coagulate and send up as a sticky blood,
yes.
and going into the brain. So, it was such a battle to try to get her medical doctor to understand that there is more magnesium needed here. And to be honest, I lost that battle. And, they just don't even want to hear that. So, it's been very frustrating, to say the least, to have the knowledge and know that the system does not support it, and to see your loved ones making choices that are just going to lead to more consequences, and that's why this conversation is so important, Michelle. That's why your work is so important. We really need to give people strategies and understanding that allows them to take charge of their health, as we said in the beginning, that gives them an understanding that diet does matter, that supplements do make an impact on supporting your health and reversing these conditions. And once you get in the clutches of the system, I have to tell everyone, if they don't already know, it's a tough battle. The system has their way of dealing with things, and if it's not in the traditional medical model, you are not allowed to do it,
mm-hmm.
if you're in a medical setting. So, get healthy, be educated. It's kind of my theme song, right? Get empowered with truthful information, make informed decisions, especially when it comes to our health. And, the other message that I think you give so well, Michelle, is you can reverse any condition. We can heal the body.
Yes.
Even in more advanced conditions, anything is possible if you nourish the body. So I'm just going to give you the last word in the last few minutes that we have here.
Okay. No, you're absolutely right. I believe can't's not in my vocabulary, and just when you know enough about the physiology of the body, there is a reason for everything. It doesn't matter what it is. There's something needed. There's an imbalance. Just something needs to be supported. But when you're talking about your arrhythmias or supporting the heart, to make it stronger, there are, the heart muscle's not the same as your other regular muscles in the body. It requires some different nutrients. So to always look to producing more ATP energy, the main energy component in the body, adenosine triphosphate. So coenzyme Q10 is fabulous for this. Certainly your magnesium that we talked about and your fatty acids. The heart relies heavily on those nutrients. And then if you wanted to look at, L-carnitine, there's different reasons, and hawthorn, there's herbs. So, there's so many things available today to support the heart, to increase your energy output, and to lower the cholesterol. It's oddly enough, many of these things, as soon as you're making something better in the body, empowering it to heal or function better, all these other things that we've talked about, many of them just go by the wayside. The blood pressure just comes down as soon as the circulation is freed up, and so on. So there's many main issues that don't become issues after a while. And so just know that there's nutrients that work, like D-Robose, that also works with carnitine. There's French maritime pine bark. It's wonderful for lowering blood pressure. And, of course, the vitamin K2. And there's resveratrol. That's another great one. Plant fats, plant antioxidants. Look at things like that to round out the diet. It just depends on the need and the depth of the problem that you're dealing with.
So lots of great information. I want to tell everyone to pick up a copy of Michelle's book called Reverse Heart Disease Naturally, The Step-by-Step Guide. Her website is michellehonda, like the car, .com,
yeah.
And you can get more information there. And, it's such an empowering message that you have, Michelle. You've certainly been doing this work in your practice for many years, seeing great results, inspiring all of us to know that the change we want, the healing we want, is absolutely possible. And I just so appreciate your commitment to the great work you're doing. thank you for spending your time with us today, sharing your wisdom, and the best of luck with your book and the books that are on the way.
Thank you so much, and thank you as well for all the great work that you do, because it's just fabulous.
You're very welcome. And to all of you listening, thank you for joining us and opening your mind so you can get that next level of wisdom and education, allowing your life to get even better and better. So until next time, remember, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.